Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, Section A, State and Local News, from Friday, July 7th, 2023. First half of 2023 in review by Morgan Taylor Thomas. The hot dog man ends 14-year tenure. Brad Logan, a.k.a. the hot dog man, retired in January after being a staple in the community for 14 years. He would park his small metal cart in the Sherwin-Williams parking lot at Midland Drive and Neely Avenue. Many Midlanders took to social media to express their thanks and sentiment. What does this mean? Not every food hotspot in town needs to be white cloth table service. Popcorn Premier closes. Also in January, Popcorn Premier closed its 1000 North Midkiff Road establishment. Owners Paul and Brandy Sanders said via Facebook that they hoped to offer a much smaller stock and online delivery option at the Candle Cafe starting in June. The shop offered over 50 unique flavors and was beloved throughout the community. Little Bohemian takes over Low Street Books. The long-awaited arrival of the new 201 West Wall Street restaurant finally came after owner Caitlin Carrasco took over the location in January. Selling both tapas and entrees for guests, Little Bohemian offers a full kitchen, bar, and wine list. Hoping to create a place for Midlanders to intentionally get dressed up for, Carrasco pulled inspiration from her travels, mainly Las Vegas, Miami, and Los Angeles. The overall aesthetic fits a French modern theme with lots of fringe details, dark colors, and moody lighting. For seating, chocolate brown velvet bench-like sections with tables and accompanying chairs paired with elegant low-hanging chandeliers and details. All the windows are tinted, only revealing silhouettes to people passing by. There's still no outdoor seating, but Carrasco plans to install an awning to extend over the South Lorraine Street facing side of the restaurant. Lastly, shiny, lacquered submarine entryways can be found on both sides of the business. What does this mean? Aesthetically pleasing and Instagram-worthy drinks and food offered in an aesthetically pleasing and Instagram-worthy place have become pretty prominent in the downtown area. Since Wall Street targets a certain financial demographic of Midland, so do the businesses. Little Bohemian maintained the high-class look established by its predecessor, Low Street Books. Cattle Baron closes. In February, Cattle Baron closed its Midland doors permanently. The only explanation ever given was a paper sign taped to the front doors reading, "At this time, Cattle Baron Midland is officially closed. We appreciate the years of dining we have been able to share with you and your families. Now, a realtor sign sits in the front area." What does this mean? At the snap of a finger, longtime restaurants throughout town have closed without warning. Unfortunately, large chains with multiple locations and national reputations are pushing out solid and reliable local chains or mom-and-pop shops. Current trends in West Texas show us that unless a restaurant can offer a unique and unrepeatable experience, their food scene tenure ends early. Mr. Chips not closing. Speculation in a Midland Area Food Facebook page led community members to believe that Mr. Chips would be closing its doors in February. But owner Chip Height told the Reporter Telegram, "We're making some changes over the next 90 days that will help improve the experience for everyone. I can't quite say what these changes are yet. We'll probably announce them toward the mid-end of the month. But one of the main changes will be table service. I don't think the counter service has been as well received as I expected or would have liked. Changes were going to be implemented incrementally through March and April. Changes were supposed to be considered as necessary improvements to get more in line with the beloved Chip Hite brand. Mr. Chips actually closes. At the beginning of April, Chip Hite wrote on the restaurant's Instagram that the Asian fusion business would close its doors for good. The restaurant opened June 2022, but Hite chose to focus on his other businesses, Opal's Table and the basement at Opal's. What does this mean? Sometimes even the most successful and admired people in the community have to know when to let a business go. Hite told the Reporter Telegram on multiple occasions that with the closure of Mr. Chips, he'd be able to focus more heavily on Opal's Table and the basement, both of which draw a heavy crowd most evenings and especially on the weekends. With this extra dedication, he hopes to make more menu changes and offer more dinners and events. Alejandro Barrientos wins Chopped, announces Midland expansion, opens. Owner and chef at the Odessa Hotspot Curbside Bistro, Alejandro Barrientos, competed on an episode of Food Network's cooking competition, Chopped, and won. With his $10,000 prize, Barrientos donated it straight to his nonprofit that offers an annual free Thanksgiving feast for the Permian Basin community. Then, the foodie announced an expansion of Curbside Bistro into Midland, taking over none other than Mr. Chips. Within the span of 2 months, Barrientos and his staff opened up the new location to the community. The menu reflects the same to-die-for choices found in Odessa, as well as graffiti art from local artists all over the walls. The bar, which doesn't exist at the Odessa location, offers both cocktails and mocktails special to Curbside Bistro. What does this mean? The food truck scene in Midland, Odessa is truly able to compete with bigger cities, but the people of the community don't always give them a chance. Chef Alejandro proves what can happen for local food kings if the Midland, Odessa community were to prioritize food trucks the same way they prioritize brick and mortars. Curbside Bistro went from food truck to Odessa restaurant to nationally known name, and finally a Midland expansion. Sip House owner creates new bar called Lisco. Although the team is calling Lisco's an expansion of Sip House, owner Lee Sanchez said it will be considered a new and separate bar to the general public, especially since the overall aura of Lisco's will be very different from Sip House. It's not a 70s or disco bar, but it feels like something you've seen growing up. Very warm lighting, wood-paneled walls, comfortable furniture, no overhead lighting. Just a really simple, nostalgic vibe, Sanchez explained. After the entrepreneur noticed how women usually enjoy Sip House more than men, mainly because of limited bar space, no TVs, etc., Sanchez decided to take his pros and cons from the 1.5-year-old cocktail house and offer a more inviting space for all community members, no matter their outing reasons. To achieve this, customers can expect more than 20 feet of bar top, TVs, arcade games, shuffleboard, intimate seating nooks, plenty of dance space, and nearly 3 times the space available at Sip House. Lisco's will also be offering not-so-whole foods, such as hot dogs, pizza, and more. However, the biggest focus will be the mood and music. Hoping to become the hub of after-hours downtown nightlife, Lisco's will pride itself heavily on a large variety of dance, pop, and funk music, music videos, and overall ambiance. As of now, Lisco's will stay open until 2 a.m. It'll be a good ending place in downtown Midland. That's the one thing we don't really have, a place where everyone congregates in the end, Sanchez said. We've done a lot of research, and I think this will be a catch-all for everybody to enjoy each other. What does this mean? The downtown area continues to evolve with new restaurant and bar concepts. Seasoned veterans of the area are able to take the trends from their current businesses and transfer them into new ideas, ultimately targeting the younger crowd sweeping over Midland. This also means Midland's nightlife will continue to grow and expand, bringing more options and locations for the community, and more business-to-business partnerships are possible. Example, local breweries, inn bars, etc. The Garlic Press closes. After 24 years in business, Garlic Press owners Josh and Jorinda Washburn decided to close the restaurant's doors and make a change. A detailed explanation was not given, but many community members expressed their feelings and pending sadness via Facebook. What does this mean? Even the city's most iconic and high-profile establishments can fall victim to the trials and tribulations of the Midland scene. Throughout the last year, many restaurants and businesses in Midland have struggled with maintaining a strong employee count. Although the Garlic Press usually was a strong exception, many people I've talked to through other Small Bites pieces explained how they were once Garlic Press employees, but the ever-changing economy forced them to find employment opportunities with bigger pay and benefits. The founders of Simply in Ally Village Want to Change Wellness Culture by Ben Schaefer. Founders Salome Britt and Heather Claybrook combined their business and medical minds at Simply, a wellness clinic in Ally Village that opened in January. Simply offers ozone therapy, infrared saunas, detox foot soaks, IVs, and vitamin injections, and more. Britt, the business founder of Simply, said she was called to bring a brick-and-mortar wellness clinic to Midland when she moved here 8 months ago. Claybrook, the medical founder, is a physician assistant with a background in emergency medicine and alternative medicine. The pair met last April. Their like-minded vision for Simply, down to the look and feel of the clinic's interior, eventually motivated them to partner up. Following her graduation from PA school in 2014, Claybrook's first job was at an alternative medicine clinic. She enjoyed her time there, but soon after became sick with neurologic Lyme disease. The native Midlander traveled far and wide seeking medical help. As more and more treatments were unsuccessful, Claybrook found a doctor in New York who practiced alternative medicine and played a big role in eventually curing her. Claybrook went to work for the doctor in New York. When she returned to Midland, she started working in an emergency room, but knew she wanted to get back into alternative medicine because I loved it and believed in it and it saved my life, she said. We wanted a space that provided some really unique treatments that we believed in and that we've seen help people and ourselves, Claybrook said. We wanted to start changing the culture of health and wellness. Clients will find a wide array of unique treatments at Simply. Some of their liquid IV injections are geared toward rehydration. Others are anti-inflammatory. They have a menu of ingredients that clients can request for vitamin injections. MIC, B12, one of those ingredients increases energy and assists in weight management. CoQ10 supports brain and heart health and helps the body recover from physical activity. Ozone therapy, which Simply offers, adds ozone gas to a patient's blood. Simply's website says this kind of therapy administers more oxygen into the bloodstream, which decreases inflammation, improves cellular health, and boosts the immune system. These treatments, are nothing new. They are just coming back into favor in the health world, Claybrook said. They target different issues, from anti-inflammatory, some things are immune-boosting if you're sick, and some are more for autoimmune conditions. Britt and Claybrook agreed that the COVID-19 pandemic is most likely the reason why many around the area have started to take a preventative, holistic approach to their health and wellness, which is great because people are a lot more well-versed in what we do, but we still have quite a few people who say, I've never done an IV, or I don't know what an infrared sauna is. So this is also a space for us to educate using social media and also using the physical space to educate people and the community on what we're doing, Britt said. As Britt arrived in Midland and became more serious about opening a wellness clinic, she said that she benefited from sitting down with members of the community, laying out her vision, and listening for feedback. I said, "This is my idea. What would you want in a space like this? What would you find beneficial, or what would make you excited to come in and be part of the community?" Britt said, when it comes to starting a new business, the following are key: networking, surrounding yourself with quality people, and understanding your community. A Ride with Backyard Midland, 10 Things to Donate and Why, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Through my experiences with Backyard Midland and Carl Borowski, I noticed which items were prioritized and used the most throughout the Midland homeless community. I also saw what items Backyard Midland needed. Below, you'll find a curated list of 10 things you can donate to Backyard Midland in order to support their mission. All donations can be taken to the Backyard Midland office at 1405 Cotton Flat Road, across from Eccentric Brewing Company, any time of the day. Chapstick, probably one of the least thought about items, is chapstick, or any kind of lip balm. Doesn't matter if it's summer, fall, winter, or spring, chapped lips can become a pain, especially if you're dehydrated and outside all day. A 5-pack of lip balm can be bought for $3 at Walmart. Easy foods. Backyard Midland usually cooks a meal before going out to visit the homeless community. However, sometimes sides are needed. A good example would be small oranges or apples, individual bags of chips, granola bars, or more. And if you'd like to help provide a meal by cooking, contact Borowski at backyardmidland.com. Financial donations. Another option to get involved and help Backyard Midland is through money donations online at backyardmidland.com. Borowski and his team can then use the funds to purchase the necessary items and distribute them. Gatorade. Electrolytes, sodium and potassium, help maintain functionality of nerves and muscles in the body, so making sure to replenish electrolytes is a priority. Drinks like Gatorade or Powerade help replace electrolytes lost through sweat, which happens a lot in the summer. 12 and 18 packs of smaller Gatorade bottles can be purchased for $10 and less at Target, Walmart, and HEB. Sleeping bags. Although the idea of a sleeping bag may not seem like much for our friends on the streets, a sleeping bag is the difference between laying on the rough, inflexible ground and a layer of cushion. Furthermore, sleeping bags are easy to transport and can often be used as coverage from the wind and sun. Sleeping bags range from $10 to more than $100 and can be purchased at any outdoor sporting store or online. Small first aid kits. If you're wanting to DIY, good items to include in the kit are Band-Aids, disinfectant wipes, wrap, gauze, sting relief, and more. Backyard Midland could then distribute the kits. If they drove around with the kits during a weekly food drop-off, they could help fix minor bumps and bruises easily and effectively. An on-the-go first aid kit contains 85 items and can be bought from Walmart for $7. Sunscreen. Because they're outside all day and often in the direct line of the sun, many homeless community members can get really rough sunburns and some damage, which ultimately leads to other health issues. Spray sunscreen can help minimize this cycle while protecting them from harmful UV rays. Personally, I don't think any sunscreen below 50 SPF will provide enough protection. A 2-pack of 50 SPF sunscreen can be bought at Walmart for $8. Tarps. Used to create protected forts and living quarters, tarps are a constant necessity for our unhoused neighbors. Many people use them for shade, rain, bad weather coverage, to create rooms, and more. Tarps can fold up to a manageable transportation size and are easy to take care of. Some tarps can be purchased for $5 at Walmart, $7 at Academy, and an array of other prices at various sporting goods, brick-and-mortars, and online stores. $10 fast food gift cards, prepaid cards. Both food gift cards and prepaid Visa gift cards allow Midlanders to enjoy full meals or pick up other necessities such as snacks, clothing, shoes, water, and more. Borowski recommends $10 so that the cards can be fully used one time, eliminating the chance for cards with money to go missing, unused, and to ensure that people in the homeless community don't have to try to keep up with remaining amounts. Water. West Texas heat can be unbearable, especially for our neighbors sitting and laying on concrete. Recently, Carl Borowski, Jim Hughes, and others have been taking water bottles every evening to the homeless community, going above and beyond to keep them hydrated and cool. Even without high temperatures, water will always be a necessity for backyard Midland. Cases of individual bottles are best compared to single gallons. This creates easier distribution and guarantees each Midlander will receive at least one bottle to drink. National Weather Service delays 100-degree highs until next week, by Stuart Doreen. According to the National Weather Service, the good news is it appears the next streak of 100-degree weather has been delayed, at least a day. The bad news is it is still coming, and Midlanders can count on more 105-degree days. The National Weather Service reported Thursday that high temperatures will fall short not only Friday, 98 degrees, but Saturday, 99 degrees. However, next week is showing nothing but triple digits with 102 degrees on Sunday, 103 on Monday, 104 on Tuesday, 106 on Wednesday, and 105 on July 13th. Should heat advisories be needed, actions to take would include drink plenty of water, even if you don't feel thirsty. Limit the time you spend outdoors during the hottest part of the day. Never leave children or pets in a hot car. Other weather notes included: the high temperature on Thursday reached 98 degrees. The average high for a July 6th is 95 degrees. Gusts on Friday could top 30 miles per hour. There also is no expected rainfall during the 7-day forecast. Man reported missing in 2015, only gone for one day. The case of a Texas man who was reported missing as a teenager in 2015 and found alive last week at a church took an unexpected turn Thursday when police revealed it was all a hoax. The man was only gone for a day, but he and his mother maintained the ruse for 8 years by using false names. Prosecutors did not file any charges against Janie Santana and her son, Rudolph Rudy Farias IV, but the investigation is continuing. Houston police detectives said they gave few other details about where they believe the case could lead. Santana's family said they suspected Farias was not missing and blamed Santana for keeping him away from them all these years. "We're upset that authorities are not going to do anything," Pauline Sanchez Rodriguez, Farias' aunt, said as she and other family members stood outside Houston police headquarters. Santana did not return a telephone call seeking comment Thursday. The announcement came a week after police said they found Farias after receiving a call about a person lying on the ground in front of a Southeast Houston church. Authorities had not previously said where Farias spent the past 8 years since he was reported missing as a 17-year-old who took his two dogs for a walk near his family's home in Northeast Houston and never came back. Now 25, he was hospitalized after police found him last week and detectives interviewed him and his mother on Wednesday. Investigators concluded Farias returned home the day after he was reported missing. but the mother, Janie, continued to deceive police by remaining adamant that Rudy was still missing. Lieutenant Christopher Zamora said during a news conference, "During the past 8 years, Farias and his mother had various interactions with officers," police said. "During these contacts, fictitious names and dates of birth were given, misleading the officers, and Rudy would remain missing," Zamora said. After Farias was reported missing, Houston police and Texas EquiSearch, a civilian search and recovery team, looked for him without success, although his dogs were later found. In the years following, there were several possible sightings of Farias, according to a private investigator hired by Santana a few months after he went missing. They included one sighting in 2018 that police responded to, but the investigation remained open as a missing person case. Rodriguez said her late mother, Rosa Sosa Rodriguez, had been living with Santana and kept telling relatives that Farias was living in the house with them. "My mother would always tell me, 'Rudy's here. He's there. He's in that room,'" Rodriguez said. And Janie said, "No, she's lying. She's losing it." Zamora said Santana claimed the person friends and family were seeing was not Farias, but her nephew. "But we disputed that." Rodriguez and other family members also accused Santana of not presenting an accurate picture of herself to people and of not caring about family members. Rodriguez said she and other family members have yet to speak with Farias, and they remain worried about him. Midland's average still 9 cents higher than Odessa's, by Ben Schaefer. Gas prices dipped in West Texas, and Midland's average gas price remained 8 cents lower than the state average, but 9 cents higher than the average in Odessa, according to this week's AAA Texas report. The organization reported the average in Midland fell 3 cents this week to $3.05. AAA Texas reported an 11-cent decrease in gas prices from $3.13 to $3.02. Other prices included $2.93 in San Angelo, a drop of 2 cents, $2.96 in Odessa, a decrease of 3 cents, $3.11 in Lubbock, an increase of 6 cents, $3.19 in Amarillo, a decrease of 1 cent, and $3.46 in El Paso, an increase of 14 cents. The increases in Lubbock and El Paso were the only increases of the 26 largest metropolitan areas in the state that are surveyed. The state average fell 5 cents this week. Last year, Midland's average gas price was $4.32, which was $1.27 higher than the price this week, according to AAA Texas. The state average has dropped $1.24 in the past 12 months. Pressure that could cause higher gas prices, rising crude oil prices. Recently, crude prices gained upward momentum following an announcement that Saudi Arabia will extend oil production cuts into August, AAA Texas reported Thursday. This is important because when the cost of each gallon of gas is broken down, the cost of crude makes up 50 to 60% of the cost for retail gasoline. However, there are two possible market influencers that could cause downward pressure. The Federal Reserve has signaled another possible increase to interest rates. Add to that the possibility of a looming economic slowdown. The latter two would likely cause a drop in demand for retail gasoline and could lead to lower pump prices. San Angelo and Odessa are the only two West Texas cities that AAA surveys that have sub-$3 gas price averages. San Angelo is home to the second cheapest gas price average statewide. Odessa is the fourth cheapest, according to AAA. The cheapest average was $2.89 a gallon in McAllen-Edinburg Mission. Texas is home to the sixth cheapest gas price average in the nation. Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Tennessee, and Arkansas are all cheaper than Texas's $3.13 average. Obituaries and death notices. Benny Rose, November 10, 1941 to July 1, 2023. Benny Norman Rose, 81, of Midland, Texas, took his last trail drive on Saturday, July 1, 2023. Benny was born on November 10, 1941, to J.T. and Mary Lee Rose in Crowell, Texas. Benny was preceded in death by his parents, J.T. and Mary Lee Rose, wife Franzel Rose, brothers Charles Rose and Larry Rose, and daughter Sheila Scott, and a lifelong friend, Betty Sue Rose. He is survived by siblings, brother Jim Rose, sister Madeline Cole, brother Lester Rose, and children Will Rose, Melinda Jackson, Mary Waddell, 10 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, and many nephews, cousins, and family members. Visitation will be held at American Heritage, 4100 North FM 1788, Midland, Texas, on July 7, 2023, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Memorial service will be held at Cotton Flat Baptist Church, 6409 South State Highway 349 in Midland, on July 8 at 10 a.m. Dorothy Williams. Dorothy Ann Taylor Williams of Midland, Texas, died peacefully on Saturday, July 1, 2023, at Ashton Medical Lodge. She was born March 31, 1937, in Slayton, Texas, to Lawrence and Imogene Taylor. Dorothy is survived by her siblings Betty Eisenberg, Randy Taylor, Carol Ellington, and by her children, Deborah Ann Choate, Kelly Kuykendall, Michael Williams, and Mitchell Williams. Dorothy also has 7 grandchildren. A memorial service is planned for later this year. Mary Jacqueline McBride. Mary Jacqueline Jackie McBride left the cares of this world on Saturday, May 20th, 2023. Memorial service is at 2 p.m. Saturday, July 8, 2023, at Redeemer Christian Fellowship Church, 3000 Franklin Avenue in Midland. Jackie was born February 24, 1928, to the late Luther Bland Foster and Lorna Tallman Foster in Shelbyville, Illinois. Jackie is preceded in death by her parents, Luther and Lorna Foster, husband John P. McBride, Jr., sons Patrick McBride and Terry J. McBride. She is survived by her children Michael McBride, Christine Costin, Sherry Hart, Julie Bollinger, 9 grandchildren, 16 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren. Willis Gilmore, Jr., February 11, 1931, to June 14, 2023. Willis Henderson Bill Gilmore, Jr., 92, passed away peacefully on Wednesday, June 14, 2023, at his home in Midland, Texas. Bill was born in Fort Worth on February 10, 1931. Bill is preceded in death by his parents, wife Betty Gilmore, and brother Reed Gilmore, Sr. Bill is survived by his daughters, Kathy Shannon and Karen Anderson, and sons Willis Henderson, Trey Gilmore III, and Lawrence Gilmore. He is also blessed with 8 grandchildren and 9 great-grandchildren. A memorial service celebrating Bill's life will be held at First Presbyterian Church in Midland on Monday, July 10, 2023 at 10:30 a.m. Memorial donations may be sent in Bill's honor to Christ Church Anglican, 5501 North Midkiff, Midland, Texas, 79705. Haley Memorial Library and History, 1805 West Indiana Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Or the Permian Basin Petroleum Museum, 1500 Interstate 20 West, Midland, Texas, 79701. Arrangements have been entrusted to Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. Dorothy Bedford. Dorothy Bedford, 93, of Midland, passed away July 5, 2023. The family will have a private graveside service. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Pauline Whatley. Pauline Whatley, 94, of Midland, passed away July 3, 2023. The family will receive guests from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday, July 10, 2023 at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Graveside service will be held at 9 a.m. Tuesday, July 11th at Rest Haven Memorial Park.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, June 24th. TXOGA says upstream employment in Texas in May grew the most in 33 years. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Jobs in the oil and gas sector continue to return from the COVID-19 pandemic downturn, led by the creation of jobs in Texas. The Texas Oil and Gas Association reported May upstream employment in Texas grew by the largest amount in the 33 years of data available from the Texas Workforce Commission. The commission reported upstream employment surged by 6,900 jobs, putting the total Texas upstream job count above 200,000 for the first time in over 3 years. Quote, Texas remains a powerhouse of production and all sectors of our economy benefit from robust activity, said Todd Staples, TXOGA president, in a statement. Quote, these numbers reported for May are the highest in decades and push upstream employment numbers above the 200,000 mark for the first time since 2020. Despite a slowdown in rig count and concerns about the global economy, the world remains dependent on the tremendous resources produced every day by dedicated men and women in the oil patch. End quote. TXOGA reported that since the COVID-related low point reached in September 2020, 49,000 Texas upstream jobs have been added. That brings the job count to 206,000 and 22,700 jobs, or 12.4% more than May of 2022. The association says months with employment increases outnumber months with decreases by 28-4. Similar strength has been reported in the services and equipment sector. The Energy Workforce and Technology Council reported an increase of 4,300 jobs in the sector in May, bringing the job count to its highest level since March 2020, 665,000 jobs. Of those, the council said 324,000 are in Texas. The May gains brought the sector closer to pre-pandemic employment numbers of 706,000 jobs as of February 2020. Quote, the oil field services sector is thriving and welcoming new talent across numerous specialties. For the past year, our sector has added almost 40,000 jobs and is still hiring, said Energy Workforce and Technology Council Chief Executive Officer Leslie Beyer in a statement. Quote, our sector is in the forefront of creating new technology that is revolutionizing the industry, reducing emissions, and streamlining production, providing exciting and challenging career opportunities. At the same time, the industry is powering the world with reliable, affordable energy, helping bring people out of energy poverty, and providing our nation and our allies with energy security. End quote. The council said its April adjusted number of 660,000 jobs is down slightly from the preliminary number of 662,000. Gains made in May were in 4 of the 7 categories tracked by the council. The oil field services and equipment sector has added 35,900 jobs over the last 12 months. PBPA continues efforts to bring more electricity to region. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Sufficient electricity has long been an issue for Permian Basin oil and gas operators, as well as West Texas residents for a number of years. Rising populations and the drive by oil and gas companies to electrify their equipment and operations are adding to electric demand. The Permian Basin Petroleum Association continues to address the issue through its Electric Coalition, which recently met with staff members at Oncor, the electric utility company responsible for delivering electricity to much of the region. Oncor shared with the coalition members details of planned transmission projects in both the Midland and Delaware basins. Quote, "We plan to continue meeting with Oncor and improving our communications," Ben Shepard, PBPA president, told the Reporter-Telegram in a telephone interview, adding that the two groups have a good working relationship. Shepard said PBPA's goal is to coordinate dialogue between oil and gas operators who have a lot of different needs and those who generate, transmit, and deliver power. Quote, "Part of the challenge comes from the fact transmission, generation, and delivery companies haven't fully understood the ups and downs of the industry," he said. "As they make their forecasts for demand, they may see oil prices are low and may stay low for a while and take that to mean activity will slow and growth in demand will slow, and we say, no, not here," he said. In spite of severe price swings in the last few years, he said electric demand growth has been steady as the Permian increased oil production to 5.6 million barrels a day. "There is a very large deficit between the amount of electricity available and what's needed, and it's only expected to grow," Shepard said, though relief is expected in the form of the projects Oncor discussed with the coalition. Another task is dialogue with the Electric Reliability Council of Texas and Public Utility Commission, which are responsible for planning and approving projects, he said. Shepard said Permian Basin operators have faced with rising costs as a result of the deficit in the amount of electricity available and what is needed. Quote, "Operators are having to spend to bring in generators or add their own distribution lines to be able to produce what they find," he said, estimating the cost in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Those operating in Oncor's Western Zone have seen congestion costs that are the highest of any other zone and, according to ERCOT, last year accounted for almost $300 million, according to Shepard. He said congestion costs over the last 5 years have cost West Texans approximately $1.5 billion. Those congestion charges are a symptom of lower-cost energy being stranded behind higher-cost energy because of transmission constraints, he said. Quote, "There is a balance between investing in a reliable electric grid without creating unnecessary costs. Infrastructure investments cost money, and those costs are passed down to consumers," he said. "An efficient network to transmit and serve electrical needs through the region, as well as proper generation, are both vital necessities to continue our work in producing America's energy freedom in the Permian Basin," end quote. BCP Resources gets local support in cord purchase. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Based in Midland and focused on the surrounding area, BCP Resources received Midland support for its recent expansion efforts. The company earlier this month closed on its acquisition of Permian Basin producing properties from Chord Energy. The acquisition was made possible through a senior debt facility provided by Community National Bank and representation from the Midland law firm Stubbleman, McRae, Seeley, Laughlin, and Browner, Incorporated. Barry Portman, Chief Executive Officer at BCP Resources, told a Reporter-Telegram by telephone the deal gives his company the opportunity to, quote, "do what we're good at, which is produce more oil from conventional legacy wells." The assets being acquired spanned 16 fields, mostly on the Central Basin Platform. Included are 153 producing wells across six counties, primarily Winkler County, according to Portman, and all carry a significant acreage position for future development, as well as multiple secondary and tertiary targets. Non-operated properties and mineral interests are also included, primarily in Texas, but also in New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Michigan. Quote, "Our focus will be improving production, adding secondary recovery, and extension drilling," Portman told the Reporter-Telegram. The deal with Chord was, quote, "a big win for us and a big win for them," he said, as Chord moves to streamline its portfolio and focus on the Williston Basin. Quote, "There is a lot of oil for conventional operators," said Portman. That's why he said he focuses on those conventional vertical wells, despite unconventional shale wells with 2 or 3 mile horizontal laterals dominating the spotlight. The conventional wells don't move the needles for the unconventional operators, quote, "but they do for us. These wells are a small part of their portfolios. Even if you increase production tenfold in these wells, it doesn't fit in their portfolios, but they do in ours," end quote. Last summer, BCP completed the acquisition of assets from Hibernia Resources II that span Reagan and Upton counties and include 85 conventional and 21 legacy horizontal wells comprising more than 2 million barrels of oil equivalent proved developed producing reserves. That became what Portman called an anchor acquisition that would help open the door to future deals. Quote, "The transaction with a public company like Chord is something I'm proud of, a larger public producer working with a smaller company like BCP," he said. The new assets give BCP a great project that, quote, "lets us focus on what we're good at," he said. Portman said he's hopeful for future deals and is on the hunt for future opportunities and bolt-on acquisitions that are a good fit. Quote, "It takes homework," he said. "The company's expertise, its track record, a strong relationship with partners like Community National and Stubbman McRae also help," he said. Civitas gained scale with Permian Basin acquisitions. The story was written by Miller McEwen. Civitas Resources is reaching far beyond its Denver-Julesburg home, spending $4.7 billion to enter the Permian Basin with acquisitions in both the Midland and Delaware Basins. The company is acquiring assets of Hibernia Energy III and Taprock Resources, both portfolio companies managed by NGP Energy Capital Management. Quote, "With these sales, private equity exits in the Permian have comfortably topped $10 billion in 2023 as sponsors stampede for the exits amid strong demand for their inventory from public buyers," Andrew Dittmar, director at Enverus Intelligence Research, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Quote, "NCAP has led the charge with monetizations of over $8 billion in investments in the play, and now peer NGP is getting into the act as well," he wrote. "With a few exceptions, private equity firms are more likely to be looking outside the Permian Basin for new investment opportunities as they have been priced out of acquiring assets there. For the public companies active in the basin, the next wave of mergers and acquisitions could come from corporate consolidation as remaining private acquisition opportunities are scarce," end quote. "The deal looks like a play for additional scale," Dittmar continued. He explained that while Civitas's remaining DJ drilling locations are economic at current prices, future expansion opportunities in the play look limited with few remaining private companies to roll up. Quote, that was likely a key factor in why Civitas peer PDC Energy decided to sell to Chevron and why Civitas is jumping into the Permian Basin, Dittmeyer wrote. For his part, Chris Doyle, Civitas president and chief executive officer, told the reporter Telegram scale is indeed important in the industry, and scale matters to help manage through the industry's cyclical nature. Quote, we looked at opportunities within the DJ Basin and across onshore North America, he said during a telephone interview. What they found in the Hibernia and Taprock assets met what Doyle listed at Civitas's four pillars: prioritizing free cash flow, protecting the balance sheet, commitment to returning cash to shareholders, and a commitment to ESG, environment, social, and governance initiatives. Generating cash flow requires scale, asset quality, and managing base decline, Doyle said, and the assets being acquired fit the bill. In terms of returning cash to shareholders, Doyle said Civitas has returned more than $1 billion in the form of dividends and stock buybacks since the beginning of 2022. Civitas expects to generate approximately $1.1 billion of pro forma free cash flow in 2024 at $70 a barrel West Texas Intermediate and $3.50 per MMBTU Henry Hub NYMEX pricing. And in terms of ESG, quote, the Permian Basin is known for having the two lowest break-even basins, but what's less known is the Permian is leading in ESG. Oil and gas is critical to our economy and to the world. The world is short of energy, certainly low-carbon energy. North America has some of the cleanest barrels to produce, end quote. The Taprock assets are located primarily in Eddy and Lee counties, New Mexico. The Hibernia assets are located in Upton and Reagan counties. Doyle is super excited to return to the Permian, he said, and looks forward to building Civitas' team in the Permian Basin. Quote, we will continue to have a presence in Denver and a presence in Midland, he said. The deal adds approximately 68,000 net acres, 90% held by production in the Midland and Delaware basins. Adds combined proved reserves of approximately 335 MMBOE as of year-end 2022. Increases Civitas' existing production by 60%. Adds about 800 gross locations.
Tarzan and Jane opening in Greenwood by Morgan Taylor Thomas. More than 10 years ago, Zach and Seth Covington found themselves migrating from Mississippi to West Texas, cashing in on the work and opportunities provided by the oil boom. Yet good food started calling their name, eventually leading Zach to the food truck industry. With friends in Tarzan, the businessman set up shop in the small town, serving fellow oilfield workers and Tarzan community members. Unknown to the brothers, a local family-owned staple looking for new owners also occupied the Martin County town just 33 miles of Midland. By random chance, the Tarzan Cafe crossed paths with Zach and Seth, and the rest is history. Now, Tarzan and Jane Gas and Grill owns three 24-hour locations, Tarzan, Stanton, 2020, and Greenwood. The duo also plans to open a Midland location in 2024. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., Tarzan and Jane cover breakfast, lunch, and dinner Monday through Saturday. In-house homemade tortilla wrap around breakfast burritos while fresh. Permian Basin-based ingredients pile high on the restaurant's highly praised burgers. Other morning options include sausage bacon, egg and cheese sandwiches, belt, bacon, egg, lettuce, tomato, sausage biscuit, and breakfast plates. For lunch and dinner, meat and potato burritos, grilled cheese, ham optional, barbecued sandwich, club sandwich, grilled crispy chicken sandwich, BLT, and a grilled chicken salad. Corn dogs, chicken nuggets, and fries make up the sides. The food and our people are our competitive advantage, Seth stated. We feel like the food is what most stations do poorly. It's where most of the work is, but it's our background, Zach explained. We want people to come in for the grill. However, Tarzan and Jane is more than a high-quality focused restaurant. Customers will also find an entire Bucky-esque travel center equipped with stocked convenience store shelves, big clean bathrooms, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks, West Texas murals, and more. Out front sits numerous gas pumps, while semi-truck entrances and pumps can be found in the back. In the Greenwood shop, West Texans will find fellow homegrown businesses. Susie South 40 Confections, Typical, Bison Jerky from Flubana, available for purchase as well. The biggest change and first-time addition to Tarzan and Jane, full HTO service, franchised by none other than Zach and Seth. A lot of truck stops that have franchises like Subway or McDonald's in them. One company's operating the station and another operates the restaurant. But it still makes the station look bad when the Subway doesn't have people to work or is closed, Zach said. So we want to operate HTO as well, so we can have oversight. I also don't like it sometimes when you go into a station and there's franchise. They're particular about how you pay, Seth said. We want people to be able to swipe one time. With a full staff behind them and ready, the Covington siblings say they're excited for their Greenwood opening on July 5th. Of course, they thank the community that got them here and the communities who continue to show out. Up in Tarzan, we're a staple there, and it made sense because there wasn't anything there. We just didn't know that it would translate in other places that have other businesses, Seth admitted. In Stanton at lunchtime, and we're excited to see already the love and excitement we've gotten from the Greenwood community about us. It's really fun being something that the community is proud of. In Greenwood, it's at 8521 Farm to Market 307. In Stanton, 3393 Interstate 20. And Tarzan, 2752 Texas 176.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.